Cut number one, Jerry Hammock, Chief Landing and Recovery Division, manned spacecrafts. Mr. Hammock, you're doing a lot of things differently on Apollo 11 and on moon return missions. Would you explain principally the need for this?
Well, there's a remote possibility that there might be some kind of microorganism, sometimes known as lunar pathogens, on the surface of the moon. And the scientists had thought it would be the correct thing to do to isolate the returning crew for a period of time sufficient for any multiplication of these organisms to occur, if there were any. So we've paid attention to those ground rules, and as a result, we have the mobile quarantine facility on the carrier.
How are you going about picking up the astronauts when they splash into the Pacific and then keeping them biologically isolated from us? Would you run through that for us?
Okay. What we wanted to do is to operate as close as possible to our past operation, taking advantage of all that good experience. So we've tried to stick to that as much as possible. So this is the way we'll operate. When the spacecraft lands, the swimmers will go out in helicopters, be dropped from helicopters, and we'll collar the spacecraft as before. Two of the swimmers, I believe it's three of the swimmers, will move upwind about 100 yards upwind of the spacecraft to be out of the influence of any thing that would happen. And then the so-called contamination swimmer will don a biological isolation garment, which is a hooded mask type garment that would retard the passing of any microorganism. He'll put this garment on, and after he does that, he'll signal to the crew, and they'll open the hatch. Then he will pass in three biological isolation garments to them, which they will don. And then after they don these garments, they'll step out into the raft. Here they are protected against the world is protected against them. Then the hatch will be immediately closed and be scrubbed down with a disinfectant solution by the swimmer. And then they will scrub each other down in case one microorganism escaped. And from that point, it's a normal operation. The helicopter comes over. They are picked up in the billet view net, into the helicopter, into the carrier. And when they get to the carrier on the deck, there we depart. We don't have the traditional handshaking ceremony and all that. They stay in the helicopter. The rotors are folded. It's lowered down to the hangar deck, towed and lowered down the hangar deck, to the closest point you can get to the mobile quarantine facility, which is a little LRL in Minotaur. And they step out of that immediately into the LRL, close the door, and there they are sealed until they get here to the LRL and pass into the LRL.
You mentioned a disinfectant solution. That's something like a surgical soap, isn't it?
That's right.
With an iodine base?
That's right. Right now, the medics have recommended to us that we use something called Betadine. And I think it's got some iodine in it, some surgical soap. And they're continuing to work with the best solution. Right now, that seems to be the best one to use. It seems to be safe. It seems to do the job. It seems to be a good one to use.
Now, you've spent a couple of years devising just this technique, haven't you, and discussing and changing and revising and coming up with what will be the ultimate method of trying to isolate the men returning from the moon.
That's a good statement you just made there, Rhett, discussing and changing and revising, because a lot of that is going on. The present technique that we're using is a little different from what we had originally planned a couple of years ago, but we think it's a better plan, it's a safer plan, and as you work with these things and as you get experience, of course, you do revise and make changes and so forth. We think the system we have now is the best system, and it's a result of all the operational experience that's going into it.
Thank you very much, Mr. Hammock. Jerry Hammock, Chief of the Landing and Recovery Division of the Manned Spacecraft Center. Now that's take two with Jerry Hammock on how the isolation and quarantine decisions were arrived at. Mr. Hammock, there have been national and international discussions even on how to return men and material from the moon. Why was this so important and so much discussed?
Well, it's a pretty important kind of a thing, Red, in that certainly no one in the agency wanted to take the responsibility to saying that there was or was not any life matter present on the lunar surface, and it was rightfully turned over to a group of people to discuss it and to take the best, to recommend the best steps. So the administrator of the NASA, Mr. Webb, some years ago, turned this over to and created what we call an Interagency Committee on Back Contamination. We refer to that as the ICBC. Now, this membership was to be composed of members of all the regulatory agencies in the United States, the Department of Agriculture, the Department of Interior, et cetera. Then also scientific agencies like the National Academy of Sciences and the like. A pretty imposing array of very fine doctors and scientists to review the problem and recommend procedures to NASA to follow. The chairman of this group, a mighty fine gentleman by the name of Dr. Dave Sensor, who is head of the Communicable Disease Center in Atlanta, Georgia. And although all the members of the committee agreed that the probability of any lunar pathogens being present that we might bring back was very remote, they still thought it would be best to isolate and protect against any possible contamination for a period of time such that any evidence of that could be brought out by scientific experiments in the lunar receiving laboratory. So they recommended complete isolation of the crew, and that's what we have come up with. Now, this has stood up to various discussions, both pro and con, and I found the committee to be reasonable in trying to blend in our operational approaches. For example, they agree that safety of the crew is paramount, and if we have any problem there, the contamination must be, the isolation, that is, must be degraded to the benefit of the safety of the crew. And we have all kind of ground rules to protect the crew in this kind of a situation.
If I may interpret a bit, am I correct in saying that the decisions of all these scientists and regulatory agencies, including the experts in the possibility of disease transmission, believe that the chances are slim, but we don't dare take the chance, so we're spending millions to assure that?
The regulatory agencies and the scientists agree that the chances are low, but they feel like to be safe that we must do this, because it's not only the contamination of people, but the Department of Agriculture representative has a concern about plant life. The fisheries, the people worry about the fish in the ocean. So because of the possible problem and a real big problem that would exist in case you had any kind of contamination or any kind of infection, why they all agree that we should do this and have recommended very strongly and taken a very strong position to NASA, and we've accepted that, and we are abiding by those guidelines.
And it's your group of people in the Landing and Recovery Division that's charged with carrying out the pickup and quarantine.
That is correct. Pickup and quarantine until the point that we bring them back here to Texas and put them in the Lunar Receiving Laboratory, where the crew will spend the remainder of the 21 days there. As you know, the 21 days starts from the time they close the hatch of the lunar module on the moon. The 21 days starts counting from that time. Then the various experiments are run on the lunar samples that we bring back over the Lunar Receiving Laboratory to see how it affects other living material, plant life, and animals. And at the end of the 21 days, hopefully, if all these experiments work out like we expect, then the crew can be released.
Thank you very much for explaining that to us, Jerry Hammack, Chief of the Landing and Recovery Division at the Manned Spacecraft Center. This is Rhett Turner. Yeah. Mr. Hammack, you've returned over 20 manned space flights safely to the Earth. How do you feel about this final and crucial part of a space mission? Is it safer now for men to come back from orbit and from deep space than it was in the earlier days?
Well, Rhett, we've learned a lot over the past years. But as you know, the anytime you come in on a commercial airplane for the landing, that's when you tighten your seatbelt and get things set. And it's the same situation here in space flight. We've planned for all the details, and we've improved our accuracies. We know more about the descent systems. We know more about our recovery equipment, our BFing equipment and beacons and so forth. We feel like we've got a very safe operation out there. You can indicate this by the number of ships we have out. We have about one-third the number of ships out this time than we had, even 2 years ago. We feel that the accuracy of the navigation system is improved. The reliability of the spacecraft is improved. We just know more about it now than we did a few years back.
And also that dissipating heat shield material has proved itself well through many a flight, hasn't it?
That's exactly right. We know the characteristics of the reentry. We know the parachute system. We know the onset G loadings. We know a lot about the spacecraft itself as far as how it would survive in a sea environment. As you know, Jim Lovell and his companion crew were out in the Block 2 Apollo spacecraft for 48 hours in pretty rough weather. We ran that test out here in the Gulf, and that gave us confidence so that to know that our spacecraft can survive out there for quite a long period of time. And all these things build up to a general feeling of confidence in our landing system, the way we operate today.
Can you put a figure on the odds on reentry safety at all?
No, I don't know what these figures are. We in the recovery business, Rhett, we don't work with the figures. We work with remote possibilities of various things happening. For example, we're set up in case we have a landing in the Indian Ocean. We're set up if we have a landing any place on the globe. We can get to that point within 18 hours and have a collar around that spacecraft and have pararescue men giving aid and comfort to the crew. And what are the odds in landing there? Very, very remote. But we work on the possible contingencies so that we are safe in all regards.
Thank you very much, Jerry Hammack, Chief of the Landing and Recovery Division at the Manned Spacecrafts.
Manned Space. Started, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1. John Hirasaki, Recovery Engineer, Manned Space Flight Center, Houston. Could you say a couple of words?
All right, testing 1, 2, 3, 4, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Let's give it a go. Cut 1, John Hirasaki, Recovery Engineer, Manned Space Flight Center, Houston. Mr. Hirasaki, as a recovery engineer, you've worked closely with the development of the MQF, the Mobile Quarantine Facility, which is a very important part of the recovery operation. In fact, perhaps the second big step after the astronauts are removed from the command module and placed aboard the carrier. Just what is a mobile quarantine facility?
The mobile quarantine facility is a facility that was designed to house the astronauts and their support personnel for return from the recovery area back to the Lunar Receiving Lab in Houston, Texas. It essentially is 35 feet long, roughly 9 foot high and 9 foot wide. Has living facilities for medical debriefing, for sleeping, eating, and all necessary support equipment to support these personnel.
Well, tell me, what was the major engineering concern in designing this this facility?
The prime concern was to maintain biological isolation of the personnel inside the mobile quarantine facility. In other words, we're trying to isolate the personnel or the astronauts once they return back from the lunar surface during this interim phase between the recovery area and the lunar receiving laboratory.
How long will the astronauts actually be quarantined in the MQF?
On this mission, we anticipate roughly 3 days.
And how many people will it support for what length of time?
The MQF was designed to support 6 people for 10 days.
I understand that you will be aboard the mobile quarantine facility with the astronauts. What will be your particular function, John, during that time?
Well, there are several. My prime function is to maintain all of the mobile quarantine facility systems and to perform all necessary operations on the spacecraft and the lunar samples. This includes removal of the samples and packaging and processing for return to the Lunar Receiving Lab in Houston. Also, there is assistance required for medical debriefing operations as well as photography.
Well, you'll have to be passing food, equipment, and samples into the facility. How do you do that? Would you explain that for us?
Right. We have a double-door transfer lock, as it is called, and essentially it's a chamber which can be flooded with a decontaminant solution with a door on the inside and a door on the outside with an interlock mechanism. The item to be transferred out is placed in special containers is then placed inside the transfer lock and closed. The lock area is then flooded with decontaminant solution for a fixed period of time and then drained. At that time, the outer door can be opened and the sample removed.
Well, what special preparation do you have to take into consideration with food that will be passed in so as not to break the quarantine? Is this specially prepared?
That is correct. The food is specially prepared and selected by people here at MSC. This food was prepared under controlled conditions, kept frozen until it is passed into the MQF. Once it is in the MQF, then it is reheated by a microwave oven and fed to the crew.
Something else I wanted to ask you, perhaps you could describe the actual division of the facility, how it is laid out, and what facilities you do have here for sustaining personnel for this period of time.
All right. At one end, what we call the aft end, we have the lounge facility. This is seats for the crew and the personnel, as well as a table, which is combines medical operations as well as dining and living facilities. In the center section, we have what we call the galley. This is essentially a sink, refrigerator, oven, and transfer lock. Forward of that, we have the bunk area with six bunks and wardrobe. At the very forward end, we have the laboratory.
How many of the MQFs will be deployed for recovery?
On this mission, we are planning to deploy two units.
It occurs to me that you will have many vehicles dealing with this particular facility. Did you have to take into consideration a matching of power supplies as you went from one stage to the other until you returned this small laboratory to the Manned Space Center here in Houston?
That is correct. We had to do, during our design development phase, we had to incorporate the different power modes anticipated on board the ship in transit as well as on board the aircraft. And these facilities have been incorporated inside the unit.
Thank you very much, John Hirasaki, Recovery Engineer, Manned Space Flight Center, Houston. This is Norman Garin. Cut to John Hirasaki, Recovery Engineer, Manned Spacecraft Center, Houston, Texas. John, in describing the mobile quarantine facility, which is referred to frequently as the MQF, would it be fair to say that it looks like a mobile home, a house trailer as we know it, without wheels?
From the exterior viewpoint, yes, it is. It looks very similar to what you would consider a house trailer without wheels. However, it is specially fitted on the interior for the quarantine operation.
I see inside, and we are recording from the special prototype, a very elaborate panel. Would you explain that?
The mode panel that you see before you is essentially a power distribution as well as a instrumentation panel. It shows the redundant power sources, the alternate mode capabilities of switching between one particular power source and the other. We also have the alarm systems, which will automatically indicate loss of external power or drop in pressure. And we have indicators for our various equipment on board.
Well, should you lose pressure or have pressurization troubles or anything of that sort, can sections be sealed off to isolate the problems?
The way the mobile quarantine facility is designed, it is designed with a redundant pressurization system. Therefore, the problem can be isolated and we can operate on a single unit.
And something else, you have another panel which I think receives communication lines and that sort of thing in the various vehicles that you'll be attached to in your trip back to Houston?
Right. We have what we call a communication patch panel, which performs several functions. All of our electronic information that must be transmitted into or out of here goes through the patch panel. This allows for communication from interior to exterior recorders to the shipboard radios or aircraft communication, as well as all the medical information that is transferred from the sensors on the personnel inside to the exterior equipment.
I think we can give a little more attention to the detail of the interior. We are seated in aircraft-type seats now. How many do we have in each vehicle? Are they all the same?
Right. The configuration of the seats are the same. We have six aircraft-type seats in the lounge area. This unit was designed to meet certain aircraft stress levels. Therefore, while they are on flight, on a military aircraft, all the crew would be in these seats.
And where will the medical tests be performed during the quarantine period?
The medical tests will be also performed in the lounge area.
Thank you very much, John Hirasaki, recovery engineer, manned spacecraft center, Houston.
This is Norman Guerin.
Cut number 3, John Hirasaki, recovery engineer, manned spacecraft center, Houston, Texas. John, the MQF really is a small lunar receiving laboratory, is it not? Rather in miniature?
Well, the purpose is essentially the same, to provide quarantine of the astronauts.
Would you trace the path, the procedures that you must go through in returning the facility to Houston and to the lunar receiving laboratory from the time that the astronauts transfer from the helicopter into the mobile quarantine facility?
All right. Once the astronauts return to Earth, they will have covered approximately 3 days of their quarantine period, which begins from the time they lift off from the lunar surface. After they enter the mobile quarantine facility, there will be approximately 2 days in transit from the recovery area to the nearest island. During this time, the astronauts will be performing their post-flight medical while the lunar samples are being removed from the command module. After the ship makes port in Hawaii, the mobile quarantine facility will be offloaded from the ship, transported to the air base where it's loaded aboard a C-141 aircraft and flown to Ellington. This will take probably the rest of the third day. At that time, once we reach Ellington at Houston, Texas, we will be transported from Ellington to the lunar receiving lab. A mating interface is available at the lunar receiving lab where the mobile quarantine facility can back up to the lunar receiving lab, seal, and exit the crew from the mobile quarantine facility. The interface is then decontaminated and the mobile quarantine facility is moved over for storage for the duration of quarantine. Meanwhile, the crew and the support personnel in the lunar receiving lab will have the remainder of the quarantine period to finish out in the lunar receiving lab. This will probably be approximately 15 days.
Well, that really doesn't end the mobile quarantine facility story. You will continue testing this facility long after its return to the lunar receiving lab, will you not?
The mobile quarantine facility itself will remain in storage for the duration of the quarantine of the crew. That is its prime function. We assume that the interior is contaminated as well as the crew, therefore we are required to maintain this unit in quarantine.
Thank you very much, John Hirasaki, recovery engineer, manned spacecraft center, Houston, Texas. This is Norman Guerin.